wounds of our hands into the scars of our own resurrection. All we have to do is to bring out our stories and allow the light to shine on them so that darkness can no longer hold them, so that the stories themselves can no longer imprison us, but instead they can be subsumed into the wounds of Jesus Christ, changing our song from "Why have you forsaken me?" to "He has done it."
Okay. Different perspective on Psalm 22.
Yes.
One of the things that we have talked about here a lot when it comes to evangelism and sharing the gospel with other people is just simply the concept of telling our story. We've talked about that from the perspective of that so many times people will express their reluctance to evangelize, to share the Bible with people because they quote-unquote don't know enough about the Bible, or they're afraid that someone will ask them a question that they don't know the answer to, and all of those other excuses. And so one of the things, again, we have emphasized is just tell your story. Okay? Because in your story, first of all, you know what that story is. Okay? And secondly, there's not a question that someone can ask you about your story that you don't know the answer to. You see? So just tell your story about what God has done for you. And in this particular lesson is where he really emphasizes this idea of our story. No matter how bad it has been in our life, no matter what has been done to us or what we have done, we have a story. Okay? And unfortunately, too many people are, as he described in here, kind of hiding within the walls of their own prison because of their story. So I think there's two things really that I want us to focus on this morning. Number one is for each of us personally, if you in any way, shape, or form can identify with what he's talking about, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the same situation that he experienced, but if you find yourself hidden within the walls that you have built to hide yourself, it's time to break out. Okay? It's time to be free from that self-imposed prison. But also, there are a lot of people in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria that are hiding in their own prison. A lot of people who don't like God. A lot of people who are mad at God. A lot of people who don't trust God. I've had several people over the years that have expressed the sentiment that says, how can I trust God as a father when my own father abused me the way they did? In other words, they don't have a good concept of a father, and so to look at God as their father is not a very welcoming concept. See? So we need to, first of all, be aware of that there are folks that's the reason they're not giving their life to Christ. Okay? And then the question from there is, okay, how can we help them get out of the prison that they have put themselves in? Okay? If you look on the back of your handout, A few questions here that I have circled that I would like for us to just open up for discussion. Okay? The very first question on there is not one you necessarily, you know, that anybody necessarily has to share. If you would like to, that's fine. But I'm asking this one because I really want to encourage you to do some self-reflection here. Okay? How do you feel that God has forsaken you in your life? In other words, where is the brokenness in your story? Have you ever really thought about that a lot? Say, where is the brokenness in your story? Brian?
First, two things I want to bring up. One thing is I'm really interested to know what Jesus sung before he went to the garden. Mm-hmm. Now that that's put together,
yeah.
He sung that hymn, it's put in Mark, I think it's Mark, I think it's 14 verse 26, mm-hmm. Talks about the only place it mentions. And some of the things, I mean, we talked about this just recently about people's struggles, and we're wondering why they struggle and why they suffer through. And something I've been working on, it's not my idea, is trying to help remember those who are struggling. So I got me a book, and I'm starting to write, as people tell me they need prayers or okay. Stuff like that. And this is not my idea. Mike Green told me about a year ago, he writes down this stuff. So I'm starting to write in a book, but what I'm putting in there, beginning of each page for each day is promises from God.
Okay.
Weekly promises. I use a weekly theme for it. And the one that I picked for this week, I just picked it out of the blue, was comfort. And the verses that I just pulled out of the scriptures to start this week was Psalms 119, verse 50. My comfort is in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. And that's what we all struggle. We talk about that. We all have our different road. None of us are the same, but they're all painful sufferings because this world is cruel. And you just like he says, you get to a point in your life and time, you wonder, why am I going through this? What did I do so wrong that I have to suffer through this? But if you go back to that one, that song he was singing in Psalms, because I've already rescued you,
yeah.
I've already saved you. You're going through a struggle and you think you're lost and you think you're thing, but I've already saved you. And we lose that concept. Each one of us, I know, you know my story, and some of it's pretty serious, but I've been rescued from day one. Through his promises. And it's just weird how the Spirit reminds us of that.
Yes. If we allow him to.
If we allow him to, how scriptures will pop up or how things will come up in our lives to, if we're willing to listen and pay attention and hear what you say. Because a lot of people have closed that walls off, just like you talked about, and will not listen, and he's trying to tell them. If you would just listen, the Spirit will provide you the comfort that you need. And this lesson this morning just absolutely blew me away.
You know, he started out, hold on with me just a second here, Chuck. He started out in the very first lesson talking about, you know, the fact that life between the two trees is tough. You know, it's full of all kinds of problems. It's full of sin. It's tough, okay? And so we all have our story. We all have, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly in our lives. I think that one of the problems, though, is that we listen more to the bad than we do to the good. See? We pay more attention to the bad things. They seem to impact us more than the good things do. See? And we need to turn that around. We need to start paying more attention to the good things, you see, to looking at what God has done I'm convinced that one of the problems that the Israelites had when they came out of Egypt, okay, was that they were always focusing on the bad things that had happened. That they it blocked their faith from the blessings that God had in store for them. And that's why they were constantly grumbling against God. Because they were always focusing on the bad things. See? And I think that sometimes we can be just like the Israelites when, you know, the blessings are right there in front of us if we would just listen, if we just open up to that. Chuck?
It's a concept that I've been trying to foster myself and hopefully emulate that to a lot of other brothers and sisters. Is to focus, consider the good that God has always done first.
Okay.
The cross, the necessary means, unfortunately, during that time, a very horrific means to a beautiful end. You know, Christ could have been taken any other way, I guess. But again, the plan was that method fulfilled. But that's not what really, to me, we should not focus on that. To me, all that would have been irrelevant, no matter how he would have passed from this life to the next, to where he is right now at the right hand of God, if he did not came back. That made all the difference in the world.
Yes.
And it still does. And now, back to the comment that the young man made there. In Luke 24:44, in the words of Christ, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me and the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms."
Yep. And this particular psalm was certainly about him.
And so
about what he was going to suffer and what he was going to accomplish. You see, again, in reading this psalm, so often we just focus on the first three verses. You know? And the my God, why have you forsaken me? We pay attention to the beginning of it. We so often don't go to the end of it. See? And the end is where the promises are. See? Jared?
You know, we all have our so-called secret stories that we locked up in our hearts. And if we have the faith of a mustard seed in God, just a teeniest bit, we know and understand that he knows. It's not secret.
Right.
He knows all of our stories.
That's right.
And so we're just deceiving ourselves by suffering without turning it back over to him. Just that story that we have might be the testimony that we give to other people that would just save their lives.
Yeah.
Because that testimony comes from our heart with all the truth of what's in our heart, and that's what convicts people. It's the truth about God and about how he's affected me rather than all the scripture that we can quote or whatever.
Yeah.
If we're going to convince somebody to be a follower of God, we've got to tell them what he did for me.
Well, and I think that, you know, one of the things we always have to remember is we are not the only one who has that story, you know? We're not the only one that this, whatever this is, has happened to in life. And one of the things I get kind of tickled sometimes with couples when I'm counseling with them, and we're talking about, you know, some things going on, and I just kind of start sharing with them some things that are going on with them. And I have to tell them, I said, I promise you I've not been spying on you. You see? Because they look at me with this, how do you know that? And my response is, because most people experience the very same things. You're not unique in this. But here's the point. when we really come to realize that, we realize that we have a story that someone else is struggling with. And we can help them come out of their prison by sharing our story. That they can find hope, you see. That they really can be free from that. Look at, here's another question that I want us to look at here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 down from the top. What does bringing our story to the cross look like? Okay, we talk about telling our story, but this specifically, what does it look like when we bring our story to the cross? Any thoughts on that? Wes?
Wes, I want to make a comment in answer to the question, this second question, number 7, that you just asked.
Uh-huh.
It's still relating also to the first question.
Okay.
Got a text here from Shirley, and she was saying that she feels that all that I have been through in life is preparing me for the world tomorrow, and I always thank him.
Okay,
that's also understanding, they were saying from the first question about how you feel about, you know, your brokenness in your life and telling
okay,
your story.
Right, okay.
And going along with what you just said in number 7, how does it look like bringing it to the cross? I think she kind of relates to that in the fact that how it's going to affect her in life. You know,
okay.
Because telling our story, which we need to tell our story, as we're talking about, to others, put it out there so that it can help others. Also, in the way in which we carry ourselves, the way in which we live, that is the biggest portrayal of our story anyway.
Okay.
Because when you see people that go through things, and I don't need to be talking about somebody because they're not here, but I want to bring it up as an example. That Sunday that James and Gwen were here and their house was on fire,
right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have seen people that would have went off. I mean, not going off as in hysterical, but they would have lost it to the fact that that would have been all that they were concerned about.
Right.
I've got to jump up, go, you know.
Right.
And we see other people when things happen in their life and someone in their family might take an ill or something has happened drastically, and they just forget everything and jump up and go to that. But the way you portray your story is how you handle it. Do you trust in God? Sure, you're concerned. Sure, you need to go. Sure, you need to take care of the situation. But the way in which you handle it, which it's a calmness about you when you know that you got to leave it in God's hands because there's only so much that you can do.
Yeah.
And that how you carry yourself, and people look at you like, I wonder, how did you do that? You know, like, I can't understand how you handle that like that. You know, I wouldn't get it.
Yeah. That reminds me of, as you were talking about that, I couldn't help but think about Dr. Abby, who was the Dean of Students at Ohio Valley College when we were their students. And at the time, I was working with the little church, Rosemar Road, which was there at the end of part of the drive, the road for the school was on. I actually alternated every other Sunday because I was preaching at another church. And so I was, in a sense, I was the associate minister with Dr. Abby there at Rosemar Road Church. I'll never forget, there was one Sunday, he got a phone call literally just before we began worship. And he took the phone call, and then we went with worship, and he preached his sermon, and, you know, afterwards, at the end of the service, he informed us that the phone call he received was that his mother had just passed away. And, you know, I remember, you know, thinking, you know, how did he keep his composure? His mother just died, you know? And yet, you know, as you were talking, I remember thinking then, I said, wow. You know, here's a man who has got such faith in God and such strength in God that even in the midst of that, he's focused on what he needs to. And that says an awful lot. It really does. Brian?
Yeah, bringing to that question number 7, I was just thinking about it. You know, to bring your sufferings to the cross, a lot of us remember, know, if we bring up old memories, how very painful they are. Very painful to relive that. But once you do, you carry it no more.
Right.
Christ rose on that third day. Christ said, "No, will never suffer on the cross again." And everything that he took on for all of us, he'll carry no more.
Right.
And if we can learn that if we can carry our suffering to the cross, it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. But after that, carry it no more.
Right. Okay, Charlotte.
To me, with that question, bringing your brokenness to the cross, because I'm sore. And I had to take that brokenness to me.
Okay.
Because I couldn't do it by myself. I said, I surrender this to you. Because he's the only one that can help me. I'm doing this broken. That's what it looked like to me. Me taking it to him.
Okay.
I could tell you, I could tell all of you this brokenness that I feel.
Right.
But it might not make me feel nothing more than me taking it to him. Because
yeah.
I know
okay.
he's going to take care of it.
Okay. You lay it at the cross.
And that's what that looked like to me, taking
okay.
it to the cross. I surrender.
Okay.
You know, it's amazing how we have our lessons come together, and they're very similar. And even Friday, we were talking in ladies' class how our stories comfort us, knowing that we're not alone when we share with others. But just lately, I've been struggling with something and can't sleep too good at night. And I will, you know, after reading your book and sharing with others, I'll hear the Spirit even talk to me in my conscience or whatever it is that's talking to me in my brain that won't let me sleep. Say, do you believe me or in me? And I'll have to say, yes, Lord, I believe you. And then he reminds me again of all the good that he's done for me all my life and through the struggle that I'm going through. I believe in you, Lord. I can do this through you because you promised that in your word. And that just seems to help. And I just appreciate so much the words that, you know, I'm not just wearing this name. I've got to live it.
Right.
I've got
okay.
to live it.
Yes. We've talked about this so many different times. What does the cross represent?
Death.
Death. It doesn't represent anything else but death, right? But what comes immediately after the cross? What is it?
New life.
New life. Victory.
Victory.
Victory. Okay? And Chuck, you mentioned it. Okay? It's the resurrection. If there wouldn't have been a resurrection, then the death would have been for nothing. So you can't go to the cross and stop there. Okay? He doesn't intend for us to do that. Right? Everybody else who was ever crucified on a cross, that's what happened to them. Okay? They died on the cross, and that was the end of it. Everybody except Jesus. Okay? Because what came after the cross is the resurrection. It's the victory. And so, to me, what it looks like to carry my pain or my story to the cross is to be able to say, to lay it at the cross and say, it's done, it's dead. And to claim the victory. You say, to claim the victory. And that's what we've got to do ourselves. Okay? And that's what we've got to help other people to do. Take it to the cross where you put it to death, okay? And then claim the victory that comes afterwards. A whole new life. And it's not just a new life in Christ, okay? It's a whole new life out of the self-imposed prison that he talks about. You see? It's a whole new life. Okay? Lynette?
I was just thinking that we have to be broken to approach the cross.
Sure.
otherwise, you know, there's no exposing our vulnerability. You know, there's no need for dependence on God. So, and Scripture tells us, you know, we need to bring our brokenness to the cross. Otherwise, how can we change?
Yeah, exactly.
We can't change the past. We can only fix the future.
Exactly. And Chuck, and then Brian.
I don't know how many of the guys will be willing to admit to this, but sometimes they get busy fixing something and they get in over their head potentially to realize it. And then they find out that they got to take it to the master mechanic or the master carpenter.
Yeah. Yeah. I can relate to that.
Get it to the instruction book.
But we say that it's just the same also with the ladies, because when they try to go and make a certain recipe from, and it doesn't quite turn out right, then they're calling mom or grandma or whoever, you know, try to find remedy. And, you know, that's a very poor example of what we really need to do. We do that in that sense, and that we go to someone more experienced. And then when we realize in our Christian walk that there's no one more experienced to fix our issues than the Creator Himself, in all aspects, whether it's a little light bulb in a sense, but the issue that we have spiritually, you think it's a small thing to quote unquote the big things. Let's go to the Master.
Go to the one who knows. Brian, finish us up.
No, we need this, like this class this morning, to share among one another as Christians, to know that we're not the only Christians going through that struggle.
Yes.
I mean, because I'll be honest with you, this morning was one of those tough mornings to get up and being up late at work and feeling not quite myself and all that. It's just to go to home and go to bed. But we need this because we need to know that we're not the only Christians who struggle.
Exactly.
So I would love, people are missing out so much. Oh, it's just Sunday school.
I know.
Or it's just worship.
I know.
I just don't feel that well this day. But I'm telling you what, after coming here this morning and many mornings like this before, I feel totally different.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you all very much for your thoughts.